Well, three on the cross, and one asked, "Lord, you shouldn't be here." And God forgave him, and Jesus said to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And it just goes again to show that you don't have to join a church, you don't have to do good works, you certainly don't have to be baptized in order for heaven to be your home. Simply by believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, and His life, His death, and His resurrection. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles this morning to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 48. Our main scripture will be verse 49. And be somewhat familiar to you as we just came through the Christmas season not too long ago. We think about Jesus Christ and His family. Again, born in a manger, born in Bethlehem. And there's not a lot said about His childhood from the time we see Him born, and we see Him go to the temple, and then we see, again, at age 12, we find Him here in the temple once again. And so from the time He fulfills the law, which is there on day 8 and day 40, and then from that time, when He's a baby, till day 12, age 12, we really don't have a lot about what happened or what transpired. I know there's lots of movies made about Jesus performing miracles as a child, and whatever the case is, I'm not sure I agree with that. He said at age 30 that He began His earthly ministry. But we do know, again, we see here, it gives us a little information about Him as a child. So let's look here with me in verse 48, Luke chapter 2. Again, the context here in verse 41 is they had gone to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And he was 12 years old. Verse 42 tells us he's 12. And they went there to fulfill the days and return the child. Let's just look back at verse 41. That'll help us all. Ready? Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Verse 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. But when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. So, you know, it was their family had come from Galilee down to Judea to go to the feast. This would have been a family group. They would have come down through the valley of Jordan Valley, went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. Again, all Jews were required to come to Jerusalem three times a year. So this is one of those times of the year they were to come and offer up sacrifice to attend the feast. So they were required to, by law, to do this, by Jewish law. And so, again, family members would have been there. They thought Jesus was one of the other family members. I remember as a kid being left one time, especially at church, locked inside the building. And at that time, they didn't have these, you know, fancy push bars on the out where you could get out. So, you know, I don't remember how old I was. All I know is I'm glad the pastor hadn't left yet. It took him a while when he finally got out of his office to come around. I don't know if it had been 10 or 15 or 20 minutes or whatever. But I was probably 4, 5, 6, I don't remember. And I remember crying and wanting my mom and dad. And he had to call my dad and say, "Hey, you missing something?" Oh, yeah. You know, all of you that bring 2 or 3 or 4 different cars to church, it's going to happen to you too. So they looked around and Jesus wasn't there. They supposed he was with some of the other family members. Verse 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Verse 46, and it came to pass after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And I think a lot of those questions were rhetorical. I might say that all of them are rhetorical. Jesus Christ did not lay aside his deity when he came to the earth. Verse 47, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father," which again is not his real father, "and I have sought thee sorrowing." I love it. Verse 49 is our text now. And he said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not, didn't you know? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again today for the opportunity to come together, to gather around the Word. I pray this morning as we offer up this spiritual food, Lord, that each one would be attentive, the ears would be open. More, may your Holy Spirit have full reign and free reign today. We pray that you'd again hide me behind the cross as I speak. And I pray that we would again see the importance of your business. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we see Jesus again here in the temple, his mom and dad looking for him, sorrowing, wondering where he's at. And we just see here Jesus, of course, says to them, "Wist you not, didn't you know that I'd be about my Father's business?" I think about when I was a kid growing up, my dad worked for Coke Oil Company, KOCH. Most of y'all will heard about the Koch brothers. They're very active in politics now, very conservative, and I appreciate what they do, actually. And spending their wealth to help in keeping our freedoms and now we see many of the judicial system very liberal and so forth. So I appreciate what the Koch brothers do. And my dad worked, my grandfather, my dad's dad, who we talk about the farm a lot in Oklahoma, my dad's dad, my pawpaw, I call him, worked for Koch Oil Company. And for many, many years, 30 years, retired from Koch Oil Company. And Coke Oil Company, when my papa started, was a very small company. In fact, I remember him telling stories about just having some oil trucks, oil trucks that they bought oil from the tanks and delivered them in delivery, and just kind of a small company and so forth. And then the dad grew it, of course. The dad grew the company. And when my dad started and began, it was growing. And at the time, my dad, when I was a kid, Coke Oil Company was the largest independent oil company in the world. Privately owned, family owned. Father passed down to sons. Four sons passed down to sons. The father eventually, of course, passed away, and it was passed down to the sons, two primarily who run the business. And there's two of them that run the business today. They're still alive. They're in their late 70s, early 80s. And now Coke Oil Company is no longer Coke Oil Company. It's Coke Industries, and they are the second largest privately owned company in America. And they're worth billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. Still family owned, still family run. In fact, I read a lot of articles about one of the brothers who still very much manages every area of the company, every area of the company. Again, father passed down to son. And I don't know if it'll make it to the next generation. I didn't read about the grandsons, if they were actively involved. I did read an article about that family-owned businesses, only 10% of them make it. In other words, only 10% of them make it to the third generation. Only 10% make it, right, to the third generation running the company. Only 10%. We think about Ford. Maybe Ford Company. I can't even hardly, those words, kind of back of my throat kind of gets. But the Ford Company, of course, we all read about Henry Ford and his son, and it was passed down to his son. And then, of course, it became a corporation, incorporated. But there are still family members involved, but the family doesn't own the business anymore. We think about Walmart, started by Sam Walton, and again, a corporation now, not family owned, but very much family involved. In fact, the Walton family still owns more than 50% of all the stock, which is kind of a weird deal. Makes them very wealthy. But not a lot of, again, only 10% make it to the third generation. But I think of Coke Industries, how successful they have been in the family business. When I was a little kid, my father worked for Coke Industries, but my mother worked in various places around town. And back then, of course, there was a lot of mom-and-pop stores. You know, if you wanted a shirt, you went downtown. I can remember exactly as a kid going downtown, and there was a clothing store, and you went into the clothing store. It was on the old, downtown buildings, a big old tall ceiling with all the, just ornate, and went in there, and you bought an Izod shirt, right? Those were in style when I was a little kid, Izod. And, you went into there to buy that. There was Ward's grocery store around the corner, right? It was family-owned by Mr. Ward, who was, a prominent citizen in Bowie at the time. And that building's no longer even there. And then there was later down the road that became Pack and Sack, was another little grocery store downtown. And just think about all the little downtown stores. And you had Ace Hardware downtown. In fact, that store lasted up until just here a few years ago. But most of the time, they didn't make it to the next generation. A family member didn't pick it up. And of course, Walmart moved in and drove most of those businesses out of business. But here we see Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business. My Father's business. What is the business? What is he talking about? He's talking about the work of salvation. Just plain and simple. What is the work that God sent him to do? What is the work that his Father sent him to do? Well, Jesus said himself in Luke 19:10, he said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. See, the Father's business that was given to the Son is that of redeeming mankind. Redeeming all mankind. I'm thankful God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so the Father's business was given to the Son. And the Father's business is still the same business today that it's always been. And it's still the saving of the lost. We as children of God, we are to continue the Father's business. We are to continue the Father's business. We are to be continuing the Father's business. Matthew 28:18-20, the Great Commission. We quote it and preach it at missions conferences. And the Bible says there, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, so he's speaking there to that church, that Jerusalem church, to that company of believers. He says to them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He is giving the commission. He's giving that commission to us. He's turning the business over to us. He's turning the business over to the church. He's turning over the family business to the church. He's turning the business over to his children. Our big brother is turning the business over to his little brothers and sisters. Amen. You say, what do you mean? I'm a child of God. Jesus Christ is my big brother. And what a big brother he is. And that family business has been given to me, has been given to you. And that is, again, to seek and to save that which is lost. We live in such a busy world today, don't we? We mentioned it a lot of times about how, the microwave microwave is supposed to save us time. And it does, A dishwasher is supposed to save us time. The, remote control is supposed to... And I'm just kidding, it does save us time. I don't have to get up. I don't have to tell the kid to go turn the channel, right? When I was a kid, I was the remote control. Dad said, go turn the channel. All these fancy things we have today is supposed to save us time. And we are supposed to have more time to relax, more time to, do our own thing or whatever. But it's just busier. We just filled it with other stuff. We filled it with other things, and we get busy with work and providing for our families. Amen. We ought to provide for our families. And we get busy with kids and keeping them active. And I think that is important. And I think we can do too much of it. But, music lessons and sports and all these things, the school and on it goes. I know at one time we had 5 children in our home. And there was a time where all of them were playing sports. And there were multiple practices in multiple places. And it was very tiring. And I kind of failed in one of the areas my dad taught us when we were kids. And that was basically we could only play one sport. So I kind of went back and said, not everybody's going to play all this stuff anymore. We were too busy. We had nothing we could do. And so we just live in a busy society. We think about our homes and laundry and cleaning. You don't want to mention that in church, huh? Laundry and cleaning and yard and preparation of food and busy, busy, busy. And then all of us are having to make a priority list and say, this is priority in my life. This isn't priority in my life. This is priority in my life. I do want to remind all the parents here that you only get one shot with these guys. Right? Might be okay for a few things to be laid aside to make our kids a priority. and spending time with them. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I got to work harder to give them more stuff. They don't want the stuff. They want your time. Love is spelt to a child. Love is spelt T-I-M-E. Not more stuff. I say, preacher, you don't understand my kids. Well, they may be screaming for that stuff, but when they get 18, 19, and 20, they'll remember the time and not the stuff. I promise you. Just that was for free this morning. I saw that rabbit. I chased it. We're busy. Busy people. And most of those things I just stated, none of those things are terrible things. Most of those things are good things. But many times they're to the exemption or the exception of the best things. Remind you, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen? That God should be first place in our life. That our Heavenly Father should be number one in our life. That God should sit on the throne of our heart. I don't sit on the throne of my heart. My kids should not sit on the throne of my heart. My wife, my spouse should not sit on the throne of my heart. God should sit on the throne of my heart. And He should be, again, dictating and telling me, and I should be obedient to Him, number one, above all else. My job is not on the throne of my heart. Jesus said, why do you seek me? Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Think about that for a moment, and then go to the end of his life. In John 17, he's in the upper room with his disciples. They're just about to walk out of the room, and Judas has already left the room. Judas has already gone to betray him. They're just about to walk out of the room and walk down the valley of, and into the Kidron Valley, and then up to Mount of Olives, up to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he speaks to them. He talks to them. But he also prays for them. And so in John 17, they're in the upper room. They have taken communion, remember? And that he's speaking to them just before he's about to be betrayed, just before he's about to be taken away and tried, he speaks to them. And in speaking to them, he comes to John 17 and he prays for them. This is really, John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Whereas the one we call the Lord's Prayer is really the model prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer, it's the model prayer. And Jesus, when he's praying, there in John 17, 4, he says this, I have glorified thee on earth. He's speaking to God, he's praying. He said, I have glorified thee on earth, and I have finished the work which thou sendest me to do. Now go back. Mom and Joseph. By the way, he makes it very clear that Joseph is not his dad. He said to them, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Yeah. Well, his earthly dad was a carpenter, so he wasn't about that business when he's in the temple. Everybody with me? So he claimed, even at 12 years old, he understood that Joseph was not his dad, that the Heavenly Father was his father. Everybody with me? So, I mean, he claimed it himself from the age of 12 at least. And then, when he's about to be crucified, he says, as he's praying, Father, I have finished the work thou sentest me to do. If you turn just a couple of pages over from there, from John 19 and verse 30, he's on the cross and he's dying. The last words he says from the cross, it is finished. And the Bible says he gave up the ghost. It is finished. It is finished. What does that mean? Well, Luke 2, verse 49. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? What did he finish? He finished the Father's business. He finished the work of redemption. He finished the work of salvation there on the cross of Calvary when he the perfect Son of God, he who had never committed a sin, who never thought an evil thought, never had a sinful thought, he who was sinless in disposition, desire, and deed, went to the cross and there died for my sins and for your sins, because he had none. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, Adam sent man into a sinful state, and Jesus Christ is the one who got us out. Jesus Christ was our substitute. He died on the cross for us. He redeemed us. He bought us back. That was the Father's business. And I don't have time this morning, but you can look up many of these references. John 8:29, John 4:34, there's many others where he alludes to and says, in fact, John 8 says, he did always those things which pleased the Father. In John 4:34, Jesus said, my meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to do his work. He was absolutely focused while here on earth that his job was to do the work of his Father. It wasn't to do his own will, but to do the will of his Father. Even there in the garden, he says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. As he contemplated and thought about the cross that he was about to go to. No, he said, your will be done. He was all about the family business. All about the Father's business. And completing that work. So we see, number one, that he reminds his mother. He says to her and to Joseph, how is it that ye sought me? He reminds her that his Father is God. Luke 1:35, when again God comes to and the angels come to Joseph and Mary, the Bible says that that holy thing, speaking to Mary, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You don't think in Luke chapter 2 verse 49, you think Mary has forgotten that she was a virgin when she had Jesus? No. But I can tell you, 12 years has passed. And she's been taking this, she nursed this child, she raised this child. 12 years has passed. I believe personally, and I think the Bible will play it out, that there wasn't any miracles performed. It wasn't like they had seen him do some special thing. Now one thing they did see was a perfect child. A perfect child. A child that never backtalked. A child that never did wrong. Right? Amen. He was perfect. From the time he was born, he was sinless. But she raised him. He raised him. And so time has marched on. I think here it's just, again, Jesus reminding her and reminding Joseph, hey, didn't you remember? Don't you remember? Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? My Father's business. Again, that reminder that he indeed is the Son of God. You know what? We need to be reminded. Wist ye not? I must be about my Father's business. I'm a child of God. I need to be reminded that God is my Father and that I should be about His business. Notice it says, He says to them, I must be about my Father's business. Again, what does that mean, must? In other words, he must be about pleasing his Father. He must be about doing the will of his Father. I think every child, when they're, as they're growing, wants to please their earthly dad and wants to please their dad. Right? We want affirmation from our parents and especially from our dad many times. We want our dad to be pleased with us as we grow up. And even as we become adults, I want my dad to be pleased with me. And Jesus did those things which pleased the Father. Always did those things which pleased the Father. Must, it says. He must be about. Do you feel you must be about the Father's business? Are you a child of God this morning? Are you? Then we've been handed the family business. Should we be about the Father's business? We've been handed that business. The Bible says, now are we the sons of God? We're the sons of God. We ought to be about the family business. See, a lot of people don't have direction in life. I have direction in life. There's a lot, and Brother House brought this up during the conference. A lot of people don't have purpose. And they just aimlessly wander throughout this life. I don't have to aimlessly wander through this life. I have purpose in life. And that is to do the will of the Father. To complete the work. I must do the work. I must, again, glorify Him. And let me just, again, clarify. What is a Christian's purpose in life? In fact, I would tell you, what is a person's purpose in life? Anybody. That's to glorify God and fellowship with Him forever. That's it. We were created for His pleasure. And we are to glorify Him. How are we as Christians, how are we as children of God to glorify God? How are we to glorify our Heavenly Father? Well, we ought to do those things that please Him. Do those things that please Him. We ought to follow in our older brother's steps. That's what Peter says, follow in His steps. Walk in the steps of Jesus. You say, preacher, I'm tired of the youth pastor and others giving me a set of rules. Well, you know what? We do have some things in the Bible that we can that tells us how to live and what to do and what not to do. And those are important. God puts those things there that He has our best interest in mind. Right? God always has our best interest in mind. The things that He tells us to do and the things He tells us not to do will help us live a life that is happy and so forth. Amen, teenagers? Yeah, amen. We're going to practice. Everybody think they should practice? Amen? Good job. Amen. Amen. But can I tell you this? A better instruction is this. Teenager, you should follow in the steps of Jesus. You want to know how to please the Heavenly Father? Follow in the steps of Jesus. And it really does come down to this saying, which became very popular in the late 1800s, by the way. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And we should follow in the steps of the Savior. How are we to please the Father? Follow in our older brother's steps. In our older brother's steps. We must work the work that Jesus was sent. By the way, we must work till He returns. Jesus is coming back again. Amen. He's coming again. And we must work. By the way, Jesus said this. John 9, verse 4, He says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Why is that? Because Jesus is coming back someday. Amen. Now, He finished the work. And our work is continued. The family business is continued through us. And that work one day will be completed when Jesus returns. Amen? At the end of the Battle of Armageddon, even there at the rapture, the work will be completed. There'll be no more harvest. No more harvest. And those who are without the Lord, those who haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, will die in their sins and go to hell, the Bible says. Where the flame, the fire dieth not. The judgment of sin is death, the Bible says. We must work while it is day. We must work while there is time. And I'm asking you as children of God, do you have that, do you sense that burden? Do you feel that burden? Do you see that call? Do you remember? Are we reminded this morning that we are in the family business? That we should be about the Father's business? That the lost and those without Jesus need us this morning. They need, you say, well, they need Jesus. Absolutely, but we've got to give them to Him. We got to give them the message. We got to tell them the good news that Jesus Christ came and lived and died and rose again that they could have eternal life. We have to spread that news. We have to be that light. We have to continue the Father's business. Is He your Father this morning? Then what a wonderful Father we have. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Our Heavenly Father loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us, to give His life for us. That's our Heavenly Father. We experience His love through His Son, Jesus Christ. He loved us before we ever loved Him. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. The business of the work of salvation has been given to us by our big brother Jesus Christ. And we ought to fulfill that commission. We ought to be about the Father's business, witnessing. We ought to be a light in this world. By the way, the word about there has to do with being engrossed in. Engrossed in or absorbed. In other words, Jesus said when He said that He must be about my Father's business, He is saying, I must be absorbed in the Father's business. I must be absorbed. I must be engrossed in the Father's business. In other words, I have one thing to do. My Father's business. I must. It's necessary. In other words, He didn't do it half-hearted. No, He did it with everything He had. Many times, if we look in Luke 9, it says He set His face towards Jerusalem. He fixed His face toward Jerusalem. He knew why He was here. He knew what was going to take place. He knew the death that He would die. He knew the cross that was coming. And he fixed his face towards it. He fixed his face towards it. He was engrossed and absorbed in the Father's business. See, the Father gave the Son a business. And that was the work of salvation. And that work was completed when he rose again from the dead. The Son passed on the family business to us. Passed it on to us. If you're a child of God this morning, it was passed on to you. It was passed on to me. We are His children. The Heavenly Father passed it on, gave it to His Son. The Son passes on to us. The Son gave it to His apostles. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2:42, 2:41. Breaking of bread and so forth, right? That we ought to be founded upon, the Bible says, not only the doctrines of Jesus, but the doctrines of the apostles. Because, again, the doctrines or the teachings of Jesus were passed on to the apostles and then passed on to all of us by way of His Word. And we ought to be about the family business. It's our work. It's our privilege, by the way. Let's work the works of Jesus. By the way, some of you need to work it again. You say, well, preacher, I just don't feel like praying. Well, just pray. In fact, when you don't feel like praying is when you should be praying. To me, it astounds me so many times that a person will go through a valley in their life, or a person will enter a storm in life, a person will have a tragedy or something will happen in their life, and they'll start missing church. You see, I'm about the Father's business. I'm going to keep doing what pleases the Father. I'm going to keep going to church. And when things are going wrong in your life, when things are looking bleak in life, when things are looking dark in life, that's when you know, most need to be in church. To hear a message. You never know, it might be just one of the hymns that blesses your heart, that stirs your heart and heals that wound. And then it may be the message, whatever it is. God has, we're to be about the family business. Well, I don't feel like teaching a class. I don't feel like coming out and visiting. I don't feel like talking to my next door neighbor about Jesus. I want to do those things that please the Father. It doesn't matter how I feel. I just want to do those things that please the Father. That's my purpose in life. I'm going to do them anyway. Amen? I know I've mentioned this before. Do you think Joseph enjoyed being in prison? He said, you know, he knew that was the Lord's will. He absolutely knew that was the Lord's will. He absolutely knew it. He knew absolutely. There's no doubt. And that, how do we know that? Because in prison, he rose to, you know, he rose in rank. He rose in authority in the prison as a prisoner. It's amazing what God did for him in the prison. How do we know he didn't want to be there? Well, he reminded the butler. He said, hey, when you stand before the king, would you tell him about me? Would you remember me? I know some of you don't remember the story, so some of you may not get the illustration. But I'm just telling you this. Jesus Christ himself, when faced with the cross, said, Lord, he said, this is a bitter cup. Lord, if it could be passed. You think as a man he just was excited about going to the cross and dying a cruel death? No. But what did he say? He said, as a man, he said, let this cup pass from me. But he said, Lord, but not my will, but thy will be done. You may be going through a bitter cup today. You may be facing a situation that maybe seems insurmountable. All I can tell you is, keep doing the will of God. Keep doing those things which please the Father. Keep doing those things that our older brother has passed on to us. And if you'll do those things, God will bless you. And God will lift you up and bring you up. And God will set your feet on a solid rock. I'm just telling you, do those things which please the Father. And God and the Lord, our Heavenly Father who loves us, will reach down and let you know He cares. I have no doubt. I must be about the Father's business. That family business has been passed on to us. And we as Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, we must be about that business. Time is passing. There's many to tell of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many that need to see our example at the workplace or in our neighborhood, at church. Our children are watching us. And we need to learn the doctrines of Jesus Christ. And we need to learn the teachings of the Bible in order that we might teach others also. I know that verse is somewhere in the Bible. I think 2 Timothy 2:2. We learn in the Bible. We learn the Bible. We learn the truths of God's Word. Why? In order that we might be able to tell others. In order that we might be able to teach others. So you don't learn the Bible and learn the teachings of Jesus just for yourself. And that's I'm thankful for that. It blesses my heart. I'm thankful I can learn the family business. But I'm to share the family business with others. I'm to tell others of the family business. I'm to tell others of the good news of salvation. Not to keep it all to myself. Again, we are to continue in the Father's business. And this morning, is He your Father? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? The best and greatest decision you'll ever make in life is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you know Him this morning? If you were to die today, would heaven be your home? If you don't know that for sure, I hope that you come to this altar. We're going to have an invitation and invite you to come forward to this altar, and a counselor will show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life. Amen. How you can have a home in heaven. How you can have your sins forgiven. So is He your Father this morning? And then, if He is your Father, child of God, are you following the example of the older brother? Are you following in the steps of Jesus? He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He was absorbed in the Father's business. Are you absorbed in the family business? Are you about reaching the lost? Are you about telling others about the Lord and Savior? We are to go, the Bible says, over and over and over again. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to be a light to those around us. How do we do that? By doing good. Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. We're to live a life pleasing to our Heavenly Father by following in the steps of Jesus and being an example to those around us. We are to be a light in a crooked and perverse world that we live in. May we be a light. May we stand as a light to those around us. Christian, this morning, there's some of you who've been in church all your life. I've been in church all my life. Since I was 2 years old, I've been in church. I know a lot about the Bible. None of us get to the end of it. That's an amazing thought. Man, this thing is so deep. You never get to the end of the Bible. It's an amazing book. But we've learned a whole lot. What I'm asking is, have you passed on what you've learned to someone else? I've had the opportunity now 2 times to go to Israel. And the first time we went, we didn't get to go to Caesarea Philippi, which is kind of the farthest northern point of Israel today. But this last time we got to go all the way up to Caesarea Philippi, way up there, up north. And a couple of times now, it was pretty, it was hazy, and we couldn't see Mount Hermon. But I know Mount Hermon's there, on up north, Mount Hermon, in the mountain range there of Mount Hermon. And I know that's where all the snow is there. In fact, a couple times you could see the snow-capped mountains. And that's where the water comes from that fills up the Jordan Valley, the Jordan River. So it comes from Mount Hermon. It comes down into the Jordan Valley. Of course, then you have the Jordan River. And then as it comes down through that valley, it comes into the what? First off, it comes to the Sea of Galilee, to the Lake of Galilee. About a 60,000-acre lake. I remember the first time we went there that we saw lots of children and adults fishing on the side of that lake. The Sea of Galilee, the Bible Galilee. Some of them didn't have fishing rods. Some of them had throw lines with treble hooks on them. And they were catching tilapia, which they call Peter's fish, out of the Lake of Galilee. It was great to see that. I wanted to jump in, Next time I go to Israel, I'm jumping in. I'm jumping into the Sea of Galilee. And then from the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River comes out of the Sea of Galilee and winds on down through the Jordan Valley. And then it makes its way to the Dead Sea, right? And so we had the opportunity, some of our church family, to go to the Dead Sea there and to jump in it. And it's amazing. You can't sink. It's just an amazing. The only thing I could tell you, it's like being a bobber. You know, you know the bobber you fish with, and you put the bobber, and you see it go, but it never sinks per se. I know the fish can drag it down, but anyway, that's what it's like being in the Dead Sea. Unlike the Sea of Galilee, which had fish in it and kids out there fishing and lots of it, the Sea of Galilee, nothing. No life, zero life in the Sea of Galilee, Dead Sea. Zero. Why? And you've heard the illustration, a lot of you have before, because it doesn't have a release. The water comes from the snow-capped mountains of Mount Hermon, comes down through that Jordan Valley, comes into the Sea of Galilee, comes to the Sea of Galilee, and then comes down to the Dead Sea, and that's where it stops. And because of that, all the sediment and all the minerals and all the things from all that runoff comes into the Dead Sea, and it just stays there. And there is zero life in the Dead Sea. Can I tell you? There are lots of Christians here this morning. And many times we find ourselves being cold, dead, and lifeless. Because we take in information, we take in Bible doctrine, and we don't apply it. You can come on Sunday mornings, you can come on Sunday nights, and that's pleasing the Father. We ought to be about the Father's business. You can come on Wednesday nights, you can come on Thursday night to the Bible Institute, and you can learn the Bible, but if you're not applying it, you become like the Dead Sea. With knowledge, the Bible says, puffeth up. And I could give multiple examples of people who learned a lot of Bible, and all it did for them was to make them prideful and arrogant. There needs to be release. See, I must be about the Father's business. See, I must follow in the steps of my big brother, and I must tell others of the wonderful salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. And of course, that family business entails living a life that's pleasing to Jesus, living a life that's pleasing to the Father. But I must be about the family business. Why? Why, preacher? Why? Because my Heavenly Father, I'm His child and I want to please Him. Why should we do it? Well, because time is short. Amen. The Lord is soon to return. And our work that we've been given will be completed, whether we like it or not. And whether that loved one got saved or not. And whether that coworker got saved or not. And whether that next door neighbor got saved or not. There'll come a time, it'll be over. Can I just remind us as Christians, as children of the Lord, I'm looking forward to that day when He returns. But I certainly know I'm going to be accountable. And may I be a faithful servant of the Lord. I love that old song. O land of rest, for thee I sigh. When will the moment come? When I shall lay my armor by and rest with thee at home. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. Let's work the works of Him that sent us, amen? While it is day, because soon the night will come. And we as children of God, we have been given the family business. And we might, unlike so many others in this earthly business, may we who have been given the heavenly business do so in a way that would please the Father. Let's all stand. Continuing in the family's business. Continue. This year our theme, again, continue. And I'm thankful for a church that has a heart for missions, and our church does. I'm thankful for a church that is faithful in reaching our community, and this church does. But may we continue in that. And if maybe you have kind of just laid some of those things aside, may you just kind of return today to the family business and be about the Father's business. Heavenly Father, may again you bless the word, bless the reading, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name.